Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of March, recording at 8:16 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, first the highlights here today, and it has been exciting. First, the Asian stock markets, a generally firm tone, not least in China, in the China-related stock markets, where the banks, some of the banks also picked up. European stock markets, a modest start, but then a move to the plus side and just kept going, as Wall Street had similar action. And the European markets closed with gains, ranging from 6% to 5%. And on Wall Street, we closed right at the highs of the day, with the Dow up 5.8%, the S&P 500 up 6.37%, and the NASDAQ Composite up over 7%. Now, elsewhere, as you would not be surprised to hear, we had a little bit of profit-taking in the U.S. Treasury instruments, down a point and a half on the 30-year long bond as I speak in after-hours trading. The dollar weakened and then cut back those losses quite a bit later in the day, but is still down, particularly against some of the Asian currencies and the Antipodean currencies. And we saw precious metals were weak in here again today, with gold actually closing under $900, and silver currently down 32 cents on the May contract. And crude oil, a little bit lower, I believe, yes, but at 45.72. Industrial metals were firm today, just the opposite of the precious metals. And commodities, agricultural commodities, a bit mixed. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, this stock market rally is a big one. I think it's very important. But first, some of the catalysts that we had in here today. Overnight, we had Citigroup's earnings come out. They were better than the market had been expecting generally. And it was really a demonstration of what can happen here when you get governments throwing so much support money at the banking sector. And then Warren Buffett yesterday, in his long CNBC broadcast interview, was talking about how this is an ideal environment for the banks, and I'm inclined to agree with that. Now, last night, if you heard the audio, you remember that I was saying that indices were very overextended, not least the financials, which had led the way down recently, and that we had overextended, oversold conditions on all the short-term indicators, overextension relative to the MAs on the weekly charts, and that this was an environment that was likely to trigger a bear squeeze. Now, I didn't know what the catalyst for that bear squeeze was, and sometimes you don't even need a catalyst, but we had several here today. I think these are the straws that broke the camel's back, metaphorically speaking. But I mentioned the Citigroup one. I mentioned Buffett's comments on the banks. I think Jeremy Grantham has said something fairly bullish. And Barney Franks from the House of Representatives had evidently said, I only picked this up a few moments ago that he'd said this, but evidently he said that they're looking at mark-to-market, which has been such a problem for the banks. Maybe a little late for that, but psychologically it didn't do any harm. And he also said that he was optimistic that the SEC would reintroduce the uptick rule. Now, it is never too late to reintroduce the uptick rule. It's something that I have fulminated over on many occasions. A disgraceful Christopher Cox, formerly head of the SEC in the Bush administration, removing the uptick rule. I think it was in June or July of 2007. Talk about timing. Okay, so what have we got here? We have a 90% upside day. That's something that Richard Russell's been talking about for ages and ages, the absence of the 90% upside days on Wall Street. So we had big volume, we had big gains. That means 90% of the volume was on the upside, and most of the stocks on the upside. And it's a bell ringer. It's the upward dynamic that I referred to last night in the audio, saying that I didn't know what the catalyst would be, but we'd know what it looked like on the charts because we would see an upward dynamic. Now, what does it actually mean? Well, let's talk about worst case, best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that it's just another short-term technical rally. Best case scenario is that the March low, which I think we saw yesterday or the day before, whichever was lower, that day before would be Friday, that the March 2009 low in the best case scenario is the equivalent of the low in October 2002, which was the low of the last bear market. Now, I think it's going to be a lot better than just another little short-term rally because we are so overextended. And as I've said on innumerable occasions, all the building blocks for a good rally, or at least, well, let me say a hyperbole, the maybe we say many of the building blocks for a major rally: low short-term interest rates, no inflationary problem whatsoever, massive stimulus taking place, massive reflationary effort taking place, and that was low commodity prices. That was a bullish background. Generally, so those are the components and I was thinking of when I talked about the building blocks for a major recovery. And of course, we had extremely bearish sentiment, as you know. I mean, sentiment really in the last few weeks was arguably as bearish as it's ever been. So I think this is important, and what I would say is, yes, of course, the uncertainties over corporate profits are going to persist. Yes, of course, that corporate profits will disappoint for a number of companies, but I think we're also edging closer to the time when some of those corporate profits will pleasantly surprise, and that will be the shock, not the fact that some other companies' profits are not so hot. See, the good news will be the shock, given the bearish consensus that we've had generally in this sort of slough of despond type of environment. Another building block for a stock market recovery is a lot of cash on the sidelines. There are also big short positions in this market. So call me bullish in here, and I backed this with my own money. This is a very good signal that we have seen in here today. Bottom line, so I don't get carried away, is that stock market indices that saw their upward dynamics today, and that's everything in Europe and the Americas, would need to close below their lows of this month to date, to offset scope for a brisk rally. and to offset that and to reaffirm the downtrend. I don't think that's going to happen. And what's going to be very interesting is that a number of these European indices, for instance, are not all that far away from those overhead trading ranges that formed between basically mid to the latter part of October and through February before we got the downward breaks. Now, if those indices rally well back into those trading ranges, we will have highly significant downside failures, which will be consistent not only with reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving average, but also that ranging lengthy convalescence base formation development activity. Now, I know in hearing this, some of you will probably be thinking, well, this is just too optimistic overall. But evidence to support that hypothesis, if you look at a number of the stock market indices that I'm posting in here today, first we have Asia, where very few of them broke down, and where they did break down, it was just a tiny bit of edging beneath the previous low, as in Japan, as in Singapore, and where China has been looking much, much better all along. The banks, which let everything down, they're so wildly overextended, big short positions in there, so they certainly are well represented in the upward dynamics stakes. And in terms of, well, it just shapes up, I think, as a very interesting environment, and our conclusion is that stock markets have a lot further to go on the upside over the medium to longer term than they have downside risk. And what sort of downside risk have people been talking about recently? Well, most of the more sensible people, I think, have been saying, well, maybe there's a 10 or 20% downside risk. Well, that's not that far. And against what really is one of the most severe bear markets, albeit justified by the economic developments that have occurred. But we know historically the big bear markets produce or are followed by the best recovery as the phoenix rises up out of the ashes. And we saw some definite fluttering in here today by the phoenix, and it wasn't lying on its back with its feet in the air. Okay, so I think that's pretty interesting, and I've stepped up my leveraged stock market trades in here today. You can read about that in the copy. I think this ushers in a dangerous environment for the long-dated government bonds. It had already been looking dangerous for the U.S. Treasuries. And precious metals, they had been rising previously on fear. And that had been the case really since October. And they had been dragged down recently by just sort of the general asset liquidation following gold's move up to the psychological 1,000 level, which I discussed it frequently. My hunch is that while gold and its sister precious metals may underperform a little bit in here. I don't think platinum will underperform all that much, but or palladium, while they may underperform a little bit in here, I don't think that, well, as we know, gold can rise for all sorts of reasons. It isn't restricted to just fear. So As the stock market rally gets underway, I think people will look around and they'll say, well, now what about this gold and the other precious metals? And they'll say, well, we've had sort of the best overall strength in this sector, pretty well anything going over the last 8 or 9 years. And they're saying that if the stock market environment is improving and then the bond market environment is deteriorating and investors with the most acute nostrils will be sniffing out some incipient inflation, which I don't think is out there in 2009 or 2010, but will come, will be out there at some point. And I think also they'll reassess the dollar. And that is a story that should support gold and its sister precious metals, not immediately perhaps, but before too very much longer. So I'm lightly represented there. I've got half the platinum position that I had, let's say, a month ago, and I bought a little bit of silver in here today, well below where I got out last month. I have some gold. Those current latest trades are underwater at the moment, but I'm a nibbler at the precious metals on weakness. Have a look at the charts of the industrial metals. They don't look at all bad. And what I don't know if I mentioned, but let me mention it again in terms of that stock market review, that I said that it wouldn't take that much of a rally in the European stock market indices for a number of them to signal downside failures. Meanwhile, a number of those Asian stock markets would rebound from their lows. That would reaffirm support near last year's lows. And some of them might just possibly break upwards. We've also got strong technology-related markets. You see that with the NASDAQ. You see that with the Swedish OMX, technology exporter, major technology exporter. And you see that with Taiwan. And I've always said, as veteran subscribers may recall, that tech often leads. So this is interesting. And I think there are money-making opportunities out there for all and sundry. So enjoy, and what an interesting day. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.